Until the beloved in Christ, God made us, the universe and everything in it. We're entirely dependent upon God and must recognize that dependence by adoring Him and praying to Him. We are God's children and must show love and obedience by public worship and private prayer. We as Catholics worship God every Sunday by assisting at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is a renewal of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross by which His merits are applied to us. During the Tridentine Latin Mass, the priest brings Christ down upon the altar under the appearances of bread and wine, offers Him to God for our sins, and gives Him to us in Holy Communion. Jesus instituted the Mass so that we can worship God by adoration, thanksgiving, petition, and satisfaction. For about 20 years before even one word of the New Testament was written, between 50 and 100 AD, Catholic clergy were offering Mass handed down by Christ. Although many of the prayers and readings of the Mass come from the Bible, the Mass is not a Bible service or songs and preaching. It's the unbloody sacrifice of Calvary offered to God by a validly ordained priest. After Christ changed bread and wine into His body and blood at the Last Supper on Holy Thursday, He gave this same power to the apostles and their successors, traditional Catholic bishops and priests. The prayers and ceremonies of the Mass are notable for their reverence and humility. This is a reason why Catholics kneel, bow, and genuflect. Our Lord instituted seven sacraments, outward signs that give grace. These have been handed down for nearly 2,000 years in their essential form. They are first baptism, which gives our souls the life of grace by which we become children of God and heirs of heaven. Confession, or penance, where sins committed after baptism are forgiven through the absolution of the priest. Third, the Holy Eucharist. Jesus' contained body, blood, soul, and divinity offered and received under the appearances of bread and wine. Confirmation, number four, gives us the grace to profess our faith and the strength to live our religion as we should. Fifth, matrimony, where a baptized man and woman bind themselves for life in a lawful marriage and receive God's graces to fulfill their duties. My dearly beloved in Christ, six is holy orders, which gives men the grace and power to fulfill the sacred duties of the priesthood. And seven, extreme unction, gives health and strength to the soul and sometimes to the body when we're in danger of death. The church that Christ founded can be known by four distinctive marks. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. One, St. Paul said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All members of the Catholic Church, according to the will of Christ, profess the same faith and have the same holy sacrifice of the Mass and sacraments. Holy, the Catholic Church was founded by our Lord, who is all holy. According to the will of our Lord, it teaches holy doctrines and provides the means of living a holy life, giving saints to every age. Catholic, the Catholic is called Catholic or universal because it fulfills Christ's commandment to teach all nations all the truths revealed by God. And apostolic, the Catholic Church was founded by Christ on the apostles and has always been governed by their lawful successors. The Church holds the faith and teaches the doctrines that the apostles held and taught. Christ made His Church infallible. God had to provide the Church He made to bring His teachings to all people and that they would be protected from teaching error. The Church, guided by God, cannot err when it teaches or believes the doctrine of faith and morals. It is always taught what it is traditionally teaching today and gives the same teaching in every nation and in every country. Before our Lord ascended into heaven, He gave His authority to teach, to sanctify, and to govern His Church to the apostles and their lawful successors. According to Vatican I's dogmatic constitution on the Church, as our Lord sent the apostles whom He had chosen, as He had himself had been sent by the Father, so He willed that there should ever be pastors and teachers in his church to the end of the world. The homiloners reject this clear teaching that there will always be pastors and teachers in the Catholic Church until the end of the world. Our Lord promised that the Catholic Church will endure until the end of time. Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It will last without interruption until the end of the world. Thus, the Catholic Church must preserve unchanged all that it has received from Christ, the Mass, the sacraments, dogmas, and morals. Hence, from the time of the apostles, the traditional Catholic faith has remained unchanged. Catholics have always held the Blessed Virgin Mary as a mediatrix, but have never replaced Christ with Our Lady. Jesus is our Redeemer and Mediator. Our Lady is our intercessor with her Divine Son. We as Catholics do not worship Mary, but do recognize her as the Mother of God. In 431 AD, the Council of Ephesus defended the doctrine that Our Lady is the Mother of God, or the Theotokos in Greek. Since Christ is divine, we can call Mary the Mother of God. And then this is what St. Elizabeth said. "How is it that the Mother of my Lord should visit me?" Okay, Mother of the Lord, Mother of God, it's the same thing. If you deny Mary as the Mother of God, you're denying the divinity of Jesus. Catholics not say Mary is equal to God, nor do they worship her as a goddess. She has simply done for God what any mother has done for her children. In the case of Mary, she provided a body for the Son of God. This unity of body, soul, and divinity is called Jesus Christ. Therefore, Our Lady is literally the Mother of God. The bond of love between mother and child is very great. Therefore, we would expect God to be pleased to answer the prayers offered by His Mother. From the earliest days of Christianity, Catholics have asked Mary to present their petitions to God, just as you ask your mom for things. Our devotion to Mary is based on her titles of Mother of God and our spiritual mother. As Mother of God, she's all-powerful over the heart of her Divine Son. As our spiritual mother, she loves us and is devoted to our interest. In the second chapter of St. John's Gospel, we read that Jesus performed his first miracle, changing water into wine at a wedding at the request of his mother. "Honor thy father and thy mother" is one of God's commandments. Christ observed it by loving, obeying, and respecting his mother. He also wants us to honor her. The Rosary is a well-known Catholic prayer that was given to us by Our Lady herself in the 13th century. The word Rosary means crown of roses. The main prayers of the Rosary are found in Scripture, the Our Father or Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. The Hail Mary is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 28 and 1:42. The Rosary does not merely consist in the prayers we recite, but it's a meditation on the life, death, and glory of Jesus seen through the eyes of his mother, who loved him more than all the angels and saints put together. When you're reciting the vocal prayers, our hearts are saying, "Dear God, I love you." In addition, we as Catholics do not worship statues and images. The first commandment, "Thou shalt not make to thyself a graven thing," etc., ends with the words, "Thou shalt not adore them nor serve them." It forbids the making or the use of statues and pictures only when they promote false worship, for we worship the item. They're worshipped in and of themselves. It's right to show respect to the statues and pictures of Christ and the saints, just as it's right to show respect to the image of those whom we love and honor on earth, such as family members, generals, historic figures, famous athletes, and those enshrined in the halls of fame. When I went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, I saw many statues of famous coaches and football players. You have family pictures in your homes, but surely you don't worship them. Thus, God does not strictly forbid the making of images. He commanded Moses to make a brazen serpent, a cross encircled by a serpent to heal those bitten by snakes. We see this image in the back of many ambulances. God also commanded two images of angels to be placed in the Ark of the Covenant. The use of images in the church dates from very remote antiquity. This is sufficiently proved from the monuments of the Apostolic Age and from the numerous symbols and images of Christ, the Blessed Virgin, the Apostles, and biblical personages which adorn the Roman catacombs. Many of these symbols belong to the first and second centuries. The very first Christians had images. In the ancient times and during the Middle Ages, the majority of people were illiterate and didn't know how to read and write. St. Gregory the Great said, "Paintings and stained glass windows are placed in the churches in order that those who cannot read may at least learn from the pictures what they cannot read in books, such as stories from the Bible." Today, statues and religious pictures help us to focus and deepen our prayers to God. In closing, it's good and helpful to remember why we believe the truths of the Catholic religion. We should be grateful that our religion has been founded by and directly given to us by Christ Himself. Our faith is not the outcome of a mere man or woman's rebellion and personal opinion. In conclusion, the Catholic Church is the one true church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.